Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. The text this morning is the gospel reading in which Christ gives the command to stay awake. You may be seated. What to do in the face of the end times? It's the last thing Jesus addresses before he begins in the preparation for his burial. All that's left is that he has the woman come and anoint him. And from there, the journey to the Last Supper begins. The journey to his death. And so this is the last thing he addresses. It's the final subject he teaches just as it itself is about final matters. The disciples only asked when they would be, but Jesus led it into this warning, that since no one knows the day or the hour, stay awake. Disciples didn't quite just ask about the end times, the last days. Kind of just what they did ask, and they did ask, when will these things be? As we heard in our reading from last week, this is a continuation of that sort of discourse. And we still didn't even have the full context in last week's reading, but as they and Jesus were headed out of the temple, the disciples were marveling over all the buildings there, saying, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." They were impressed with the wealth of the earthly Jerusalem. So little did they know the heavenly Jerusalem that awaited them. They were impressed with the gold and the jewels of man stored in these piles of stone, which they heaped up for themselves. Though the heavenly Jerusalem will not be made of stone, but of gold, and the foundation of gemstones. That is how ordinary these things are compared to the treasures of heaven. And so Jesus told them of these buildings around the temple, that not one stone would be left upon another. They were captivated by this temporary power of the elites of Jerusalem. But they would eventually be overthrown. But for that to happen, Jerusalem would have to be attacked, defeated, conquered. So the disciples wanted to know when this would happen. And so they asked Jesus, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Surely, if Jesus knows that it's going to happen, he knows when, right? And so, he gave them an answer. And he told them, firstly, about the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in AD 70, some 40-ish years later. But also, the destruction of the whole world. For yes, those stones in Jerusalem were thrown down, and all that man-made glory they were marveling over was replaced with weeping and gnashing of teeth. But that was just a precursor. The time of Jerusalem, the time of the temple, was over. Christ was the new temple. The church was the new place, was God's new people. They were the new Israel. They were no longer necessary, and the Jews, kept sticking the Romans in the back. And so, yes, every stone was separated from another, but eventually not only each stone of the earth will be separated, but verily each atom will be unable to sit upon another, for none of them shall exist any longer, at least the ones that exist now. As Christ says, heaven and earth will pass away. At the return of the Son of Man, all the old will pass away to make room for the new, so that God's justice may be fully realized and all will receive their reward. Just as Isaiah foretold that the earth would wear out like a garment and all who dwell in it will die in like manner. But he also says that his salvation will be forever. That salvation is the same as Christ's word. And so, when he returns, he'll gather his elect, his chosen with Christ. They will be gathered, and those who are outside the church will receive the same fate as those who were at the fall of Jerusalem, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the only precursors to this grand finale that Jesus tells us about are this. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Well, it certainly sounds not all that different from what we heard from Daniel last week after a tribulation. And besides that, there's quite obviously wondrous signs. I mean, the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light. You could say perhaps, maybe what is meant here is if the moon is in a new moon and you have a solar eclipse, that the sun cannot give its light. But it's not as though that's the only way God has prevented the sun's light. For the Egyptians had a full day of 3 days of darkness. The stars will be falling from heaven. Well, perhaps we could say that that might mean a meteor shower. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Well, we don't really know. Wondrous should be obvious, but really they're vague enough that I can't really tell. I mean, there have been eclipses, there have been meteor showers, and yet we're still here. Atom still sits upon atom, stone upon stone. This isn't exactly meant, these signs aren't exactly meant to be a timetable. You know, you have an eclipse at 3 o'clock, meteor shower at 4. Yeah, we've got about 30 minutes until the Son of Man comes back. No, not exactly. Instead, to understand the meaning, how we are to interpret this, Christ gives us the example of the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. And that's how we would know the Son of Man is near. Certainly, we can understand that in spring, before summer comes, the leaves begin to sprout. Perhaps you like an illustration here. If we just sit the book here, you will be able to see that it is tilting and falling, and it is gone. And eventually, there's the thud. You don't see exactly when it's going to happen. You only know that it's near. I mean, it can't be that long until it hits the bottom of the pulpit, right? It's obvious. But the timing isn't obvious. You'd have to know from experience or something. And I don't think any of us have experienced the end of the world quite yet. So this is what we have. We have the signs. In fact, we probably see, you know, people have claimed to see them happening, that the end of the world is near, and they, of course, probably come up with some date. But that's not what we are to do. We only know that it is near at that point, only upon seeing the signs. I have seen an eclipse. I have seen meteor showers. But I have not yet seen the Son of Man return. All I know is that it's near. We only know that God's definition of near is clearly much different than ours. For the disciples were told that the kingdom of God is near, that the return is near. Paul says that the return is soon. They're all waiting. They're expecting it right there in the first century. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later. It's soon. It's near. That's still all the more we know. We know that the signs have come. We know that the tribulation and destruction of Jerusalem has happened. But we have no idea when the Son of Man will return. Hence, he gives us that last command. Stay awake. For as he says, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. See, the end of the world is a near, present reality for the Christian. But we're given very little we can do about it. But everything else that we're supposed to do. Keep watchful. Keep awake. Act as if his return could be any minute now. Because it may be. We know only to continue in good works, to continue in the faith, to continue in the church, to hear the words of Christ. And to pray. Pray for his soon return. For those words of Christ are the one thing that will not pass away. They are the one thing that will remain. They are the treasure of heaven, over and above gold and jewels, that is to be valued above all else. Because those words confess Christ and his work and what he has done and what he will do yet. They confess that you are forgiven on account of his death, that he has won and redeemed you so that you may have that eternal salvation of God. All the more reason to keep awake for it. All the more reason to keep attention. All the more reason to know when it will come, when the enemy will be destroyed, when we shall finally be saved once for all. When we have not only the command to wait, we need not just the command to wait, but we have the full righteousness of God before us. Those things here are only fleeting. Money changes hands. Power is taken down. The wisdom of men finds only falsehood. And even the most intelligent person on earth cannot find the truth of Christ by himself. What the world values, whether that is truth or wealth or knowledge or power, is nothing in the face of this word of Christ. For when the light of sun is eclipsed by darkness of the moon, the glory of the Son of Man will come and eclipse the glory of men by outshining it so greatly that all we will have is a candle compared to that ball in the sky that provides our light. And he will come so that you, the elect, chosen people of God, may partake in that glory, in that righteousness. That is the reason Christ died. It is why he has won the victory. And the Holy Ghost has bestowed this gift that was won upon you. He continues to keep you in the one true faith. He has taught you that this is true. He has brought truth where we could find none. He has led you to be made new, so that now you shall fit with the new heavens and the new earth. And though, as Isaiah said, all the old will pass away, you shall be new, and you will not pass away, because you reside in that word of Christ, that word that says you are forgiven. He has made you holy, so that you may do good works, so that you may continue the race and find endurance, so that you may not give up, so that you may continue in your faith. And so that finally you may, in the new heavens and new earth, you may be and walk in the presence of God. And walk with him face to face, just as you and I would speak and walk. So there is only one final teaching. Since all is one, there's only one thing left. Since you are holy, since you are new, since you are forgiven, all that's left is to stay awake, to keep watch, to see when the Master will return. All has been accomplished for you. All is victorious in Christ. All that is left is not to lose it. Pray for faith. Pray that you may be given endurance. Pray that Christ may come soon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. May the peace which passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus and in the one true faith from now until life everlasting. Amen.